Today's reading comes from Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, the Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And, seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. And then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay that debt. When his fellow slaves saw what happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of God for the people of God.
A commentary that I appreciate and review often notes that they note this text and from Matthew 13 through 17, they call it the time that Jesus was gathering and instructing the new community from the midst of this generation which rejects him. So Jesus standing amongst people who rejected him. And I wonder what Jesus might say to us, the same or different than what he shared. And if the title would be the same for us, Consideration for the Little People. That's what one of my commentaries calls this section. This is a consideration for the little people. I wonder what Jesus would say to our generation or our current condition. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have invited us to relent, to open our hearts and let you in. You have invited us, gracious God, to hear your word, this parable of a servant who was forgiven and then did not forgive another. Help us, gracious God, to listen for your word this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer, O Lord, we pray. Amen. We'll see if I can get through a whole Sunday without a cough drop, huh? I will warn you, though, this ear is plugged, so if I talk really loud or in different voices, I'm sorry. I just can't grab it. So we're still in Matthew chapter 18, right? And we have this other parable, and this time it's about forgiveness and grace. In the first parable that we find in Matthew 18, we're invited to become like a child, meaning that we should humble ourselves or give up our self-importance and give it over to God. Trust in God. But that's not our topic for today. Or is it? Have you ever watched a child play? Like they're building blocks or doing something. There's this intense action. They're so into what they're doing. And then sometimes almost without a sound, they're gone until something else or something reminds them to come back to what they were doing, if they even remember what they were doing. But they like drop everything and move on to the next thing, so engrossed in a new idea. Today, I'd like us to consider that feeling of release, letting go of something well enough that we can run into something new and accept it with a full and open heart. Consider letting ourselves and others be released from the baggage or the weight or the pressure that comes when we make a mistake, a misstep, or a consequence. How do we truly let it go, as Elsa says? Right, in her song, she's singing about this inner turmoil and fear, and how does she step out into the world and separate herself from those feelings? And that's her story, but what's your story? What is it? Who is it? How is it that you need to let something go so that you can move into this right relationship with God? These weeks we've been talking about forgiveness. And so I wonder, in the terms of forgiveness, what do you or I need to let go of? Last week we listed a couple of quick ways that people choose to deal with conflict, right? There's the forgive and forget, forgive but don't forget, sweep it under the rug, right? Some do the sincere apology with the steps of actually asking someone to forgive them, right? Recognizing their fault. I don't know if any of those methods are right for you or your choice action. But in our parable for today, what I hear Jesus inviting us to do is, if we're going to forgive, to actually release. To actually let it go. You know, when Cain killed Abel, God said that anyone who kills Cain will suffer seven times over. And yet, when Peter asks Jesus, how many times should I forgive? Jesus says, not seven times, but 77 times. That's a lot. Or more accurately, that's a lot of a lot of a lot of a lot of times. Yeah. And that's probably not enough times. It's probably not as many opportunities as we will have to forgive. In our Thursday night group, we were reminded that we should not just reserve forgiveness for others, but offer it to ourselves as well. Dr. Robert Enright's book, Eight Keys of Forgiveness, as shared with us by Tim Merkel from The Forgiveness Factor, challenges us to give yourself a gift or an act of mercy. He also suggested that we stop playing in our heads the recordings of negativity that perhaps we've learned throughout our lives, but instead make a new recording, a new soundtrack of positive and affirmation and true ideas. Perhaps like, I am special, I am unique, I am irreplaceable. But we can't just play the soundtrack, we have to believe it and own it and accept it. And in order to do that, we have to release that negative soundtrack or the things that are holding us back from accepting that I am special, I am unique, I am irreplaceable. As valuable to me as being in a learning time with a studied teacher, I also find that I need that time with those who are lighthearted and carefree of mind, like the kind of people who can throw leaves up in the air and let them fall and not care about how much time or energy it's going to take to regather those leaves again. I need the studied and learned time on how to do forgiveness. And then I need that practical time, like playing whimsically in the leaves and recognizing that that wistful and hopeful action is a sign of trust. That I can let go of the leaves. Can you? Can you? Can you do that for yourself or for others who have hurt you? Can you truly let the leaves fall where they may? Jesus said that we should think about the kingdom of heaven like a place where no one is keeping count, because keeping count is not true forgiveness. It's just a way of biding time. Let's not do that. Let's not bide time together. Oh, gosh, I think about the times we put up with people, right? I know that Easter's on my brain right now, right? I'm thinking ahead to the special occasions that are to come. And over the years, some of those special occasions have been like, oh, goodness, we get to be with all of them, right? right? And they're people you love and you care for and you're excited about, right? But inevitably, you get seated next to that interesting uncle who asks you questions you really don't want to answer out loud, right? Or that cousin who says, "Are you still dating that guy?" And you're like, "Oh, goodness, no, that was ages ago," right? Think of all the awkwardness, right, of being around people who you don't see very often and how some people have a lot of anxiety about what's coming up here in the next couple weeks with Easter, right, or any other holidays. Graduations are coming up. Oh, my goodness, what happens after graduation? Don't ask a senior what they're doing next, right? Let them tell you. Yeah, because this is a time when we get nervous, right? We get nervous about what's coming and what's going to happen next. Let's not bide our time together. Let's enjoy our time together. Let's dance and sing and be silly enough to join in a song, right? Let's not be like the servant who choked his debtor for the small sum that was owed to him, but instead be more like what Jesus is calling us to be, people who can truly cancel the debt. I think in order for us to truly, faithfully, completely forgive ourselves, we have to release from our mind the tally sheets and the debts that others owe to us as well. I don't want to get to the end of my story or your story and have it sound anything like the story that Brian shared with us from the Bible today. It was good until that part. Yeah, it was. But when the king and the servants ended their story, the grace was taken back and the debt was reinstated. I tried to think of a very theological word to put right after that, and all I could come up with was yuck. I hope that helps you understand what I was thinking. It feels yuck. Jesus says, don't be yuck, right? I know. It's Children's Sunday, right? We can say that, right? I don't want to have a sad conclusion to the end of my story with you or with God or with life. I don't want it to sound like a hopeless outcome where he was locked up until his debt was paid. Now, you can do math and you can do old school math and you can do number crunching all you want, but basically what Jesus is saying is that guy was never getting out. Even bad math will tell you he's never getting out because what he owed was more than he could ever repay. Ever feel like that? What you owe is more than you could ever repay? Yeah. Jesus says, let's cancel the debt. Let's cancel the debt so we don't end up back where we started in the beginning. I hope so, because I don't have the energy for that. My journey to the cross, I don't have time to keep starting back at the beginning. I don't know about you. Maybe you have more time. To me, that's the most precious commodity in my head right now. And I know that I will never make it to Easter or to Jesus' claim on my heart if I can't get rid of the rocks or the boulders that weigh me down or cause me to stumble. I want to be like Elsa and dance and sing with my arms open and just say, let it go. I want to hear knocking at my door and I want to answer it. Right? So that I can live as a resurrected person. Don't you? Isn't that why you're here? Isn't that why you dig into this book or this book or this book, right? Isn't that why you look for God here and out there? So that you can live as a resurrected person, owning the claim of Easter that you are forgiven. You, and you, and you, and you, and you. We got to believe that part. Or none of this is going to work. One of the tools I have behind my desk that I turn to often is this Quest Study Bible. I was invited to buy another Bible by a parishioner at my last church. He said, this one you're really going to like. I kind of thought, really? Aren't they all the same? But I did it. And wise old Joe was right. He said he loved this one because it's full of questions and answers, and it helps us. In here, there's side column notes with explanations of cultural significance, causes for things, fair summations, and related topics and scriptures. And at the point of Matthew 18:35, there is this question and comment. It says, is our salvation dependent on whether we forgive others? And part of the answer says, to be right with God, we have to be right with other believers. If we ask God for forgiveness, we should forgive others. Cut and dry, simple, clarified, right? We have to be right with other believers. If we ask God for forgiveness, we should forgive others. That's what I'm journeying towards this Easter. That's what I'm interested in, truly. Yes, I love Peeps more than most people should. And egg hunts are especially exciting for me at this time of life. I love the beautiful flowers that adorn an altar to celebrate the risen Christ, but I also love and need. I need to restore my relationship with God so that I can receive Easter this year. I want to be in right relationship with God, and not just so that I can be your pastor and deliver time with you and messages, but also because I need it for my soul, so that I may, when it's time, meet my Maker with confidence. I need to accept God's grace for myself. And in this teaching of Jesus, I hear that the one of the ways that we can do that is to forgive my companions on this journey. With God's help, may it be so for all of us. Amen.